And welcome to Food for Thought. I'm Dee Dee McGrail.
And I'm Laura Mangone. Oh, happy day.
Happy, happy.
How are you?
We're just, I'm well. I'm having a lazy day. I had to take the day off today because I had to get all this stuff done, and it looks like I'm going to get about a percentage of what I was supposed to get done. I think I just needed to have
a day.
At least a half a day where I could just putz around. Do you ever just want to putz around and organize the drawer?
I putz around almost every Thursday. I clean stuff. I do sewing. I catch up on correspondence. I do banking. I do. Yeah.
I have a putz day. You have a putz day. I really feel in my old age, you know, I'm only working 32 and a half hours a week. Of course, that's not really true because we have the radio show. I teach 4 classes a week, and that actually, it's not just 4 hours. Like I have to create playlists. I have to sometimes come up with new material. So I probably really work a typical 40, let's say, maybe, somewhere around there. I really think I really prefer the 4-day work week.
Yeah.
I really do. Like that 3 days off in a row just is so much better than 2. You know what I mean? It's just so much better than 2.
I don't feel like I have, Thursday is the day I feel like I have off. I go see Uncle Joe on Saturdays. On Sundays, I'm running around. I do stuff for my in-laws. As I mentioned to you before the show, I've been cooking for one of my nieces once a week. Her young son fell and broke his femur. So he's in a body cast.
Ouch.
And they also have a young baby. So
how old is the boy who?
He's going on 3, I think.
Don't
hold me to it. and they have a 7-month-old, 8-month-old, who was born right before the pandemic started. So the end.
I was going to say right
beginning
before,
of March. Yeah. I was just coming home from Guatemala when he was born, so it was the beginning of March. So they have their hands full. But so between this is Mario's sister's child and grandchild.
And so you're cooking. You're cooking.
So
for
I
that.
Cook once a week for her family. My sister-in-law, both my sister-in-laws, Mario's sister and our other sister-in-law, we all, pick a day, and we cook for her. So I made something really interesting last night. The week before, I had made them, the lemon chicken that I usually make in the crock pot.
Right, the one that I did, and I didn't add enough lemon.
Yeah, but it's sort of my go-to, and everyone loves it. So when I first suggested, or when we all, the three of us, decided we were going to start cooking for her on a regular basis, that was the first meal that I did, also because it worked into my schedule, because it was the day that I was going to bring food to her. Was the day that I was at Uncle Joe's. So I go to Uncle Joe's Tuesdays and Saturdays. So it was perfect. I, threw it together in the morning. It was in the crock pot. When I got home, it was done. I threw together, some side dishes and a salad, and it was a done deal. And they loved it. So when I dropped that off last week, I love recommendations. Like, it's kind of hard sometimes. Mario loves everything, but he never has a hankering for something. Think about food literally 24 hours a day. I really do. Even if I'm doing something else, I'm always thinking about food.
Really?
I'm like a shark. I'm always thinking about food. So if someone says to me, what do you feel like cooking? It's not about what I feel like cooking. It's what do you feel like eating? So I could answer the question, what do I feel like eating, any hour of the day or night? I could be in the mood for pasta. I could be in the mood for Chinese food. I could be in the mood for a stew. I really love food, and I'm always thinking about it. So when I made this dish for them, I got there and I, you know, as even though she's my niece, you know, I don't spend a ton of time at her home and see how she eats on a regular basis. So I said to her husband and herself, to she and her husband, to her and her husband, I can't speak anymore.
Yeah, that's right. her and her husband.
You know, what do you guys like to eat? What do you feel like? And they both sort of said they're kind of meat and potatoes kind of people. I was like, cool, I can work with that. So yesterday I decided to make a meatloaf and mashed potatoes and sauteed green beans and a salad. Easy, right? Right. Yeah. So I decided to make a meatloaf, but then I'm like, I want to put more vegetables in it in some way. And I do put vegetables in my meatloaf when I generally make meatloaf. I basically have mirepoix in there. So it's got onions, it's got celery, it's got carrots. I usually put a small amount of spinach in my meatloaf. I obviously use a lot of different seasonings and herbs. And I also, most times, put a ton of parsley. So it's not just, you know, a meatloaf. Like if you go to a diner, you get meat. It doesn't have other stuff in it. But I decided to do it a little bit even further. So I made the meatloaf like a jelly roll. And I made like a duxelle with mushrooms and spinach and garlic and onions. That was really good. And I cooked all the moisture out of it. I, you know, sauteed onions, threw some garlic in. Then I threw in a ton of mushrooms, let it cook down, let the moisture cook out. Then I put in a ton of chopped spinach, ditto, let the moisture cook out until it was almost completely dry. I seasoned it. I had some thyme in it, salt, pepper, and then I let that mixture get cold. And while I was doing other things, I let the mixture get cold. And into it, I put what I normally would put in my regular, you know, meatloaf mixture. I put some eggs, I put some Parmesan cheese, and it was a really nice duxelle. So, you know, we call that a duxelle when you're cooking something down, flavoring something, and then you're going to be using it as a filling. So I did that, and then I made the meatloaf mixture. And when I make my meatloaf, I make it in a lot of different ways. Sometimes I use all beef. When I make Uncle Joe's meatloaf, generally I make all beef. When I'm making meatloaf, and I don't, you know, I do this haphazardly. There's no rhyme or reason. Sometimes I use beef. Sometimes I use a combination of beef, veal, pork. Sometimes I use a combination of beef, pork, and turkey or chicken to lighten it up a little bit. Just certainly cutting the fat content. Mm-hmm. And I decided to make my pretty much usual recipe, which is, I use beef, I use pork, equal parts beef and pork, and then I put about half of that quantity of ground chicken in it. And I like it. It comes out, it's not really fatty. The chicken adds a little bit different consistency to it, even though they're ground meats. There, you can tell there's a different meat in there. So I have those items. And then I saute a hefty amount of onions and garlic and celery and a little bit of carrot. I didn't do as much carrot as I usually do because I was going to be putting this layer of spinach and mushrooms in it. So I thought I'd tone it down a bit. So basically just onion, celery, garlic in the meat. And I saute it. I let it cool a little bit. And then I put it in with the meat. Put a couple of eggs. I put some oregano. For some reason, I'm addicted to oregano in only on certain things. I don't use oregano on a lot of things. I use oregano.
Are you using it fresh?
Fresh oregano, yep.
Fresh?
Yes, fresh oregano. So I put it in that. And that was it. And I laid it out. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot my breadcrumbs. So normally I make fresh breadcrumbs if I have leftover bread. I just zap it in the Cuisinart. And I had a bunch of fresh breadcrumbs into which I threw some Parmesan cheese. I threw some parsley. And rather than just sprinkling it in, what I've been doing lately is I also mix milk into my meatloaf. But in this case,
yeah, a lot of people do that.
Yeah. So what I did though is I moistened the breadcrumbs with the milk, which is something my grandmother mm-hmm. used to do when she would make a filling of some sort. But generally, I don't do that. I just put the dry breadcrumbs in and I put the milk in and I'm moistening it that way. What I did yesterday is I put the breadcrumbs in a bowl with the parsley and Parmesan and put milk in it and let that sit for about half an hour. So it really is absorbing. So the breadcrumbs are really moist. Mix mm-hmm. that into the mix. And then what I did was I rolled it out on a flat. I put saran wrap basically down on my counter and patted out the meat in a rather large rectangle and mm-hmm. spread. And it was pretty thick. It was probably an inch thick. And then I spread out a layer of the spinach mixture, which was cold at that point. And that was probably about a half inch thick. And I laid that out on top. And I left a little bit of a border around the sides and the top. And then I rolled it up like a jelly roll, just using the saran wrap. I rolled it up and I closed up the sides, you know, really packed it a bit on the sides. And transferred it to a pan with parchment paper. And I had to do it. You know, when I make meatloaf for Uncle Joe, he loves bacon. So his meatloaf, I put bacon on the top of. But in my heart of hearts, I have to do what my mom used to do, which was put ketchup on it. So I put a little bit of ketchup.
Laura.
No, it's great. It's got a little sugar, so it caramelizes. It's a little bit of sweetness. I do not put a lot. I literally, on this thing that was, you know, it was really big. It was like 6 pounds of meat, so it was large. It was a big, giant roll. I literally put like 2 tablespoons and just rubbed it all over. And it basically disappears. It's just the sweetness.
You're right. And it cooks down and caramelizes.
It totally cooks down and caramelizes. You don't even know it's there. It's just a little layer. And I would much prefer that to other people. I know my niece in the other side of my family. I know she puts a barbecue sauce on her meatloaf. I know that people make mixtures of basically making a barbecue sauce with brown sugar. And put that on it. But this, you know, ketchup does the same thing. It's got a little bit of sugar in it.
My meatloaf has always, when I do make it, which is very rare, I don't make it for us, but I have made it for clients. Tomato sauce is what I kind of grew up with uh-huh. the top for meatloaf. So a similar thing to the ketchup.
It's just a little tomato product, a little sweetness that ultimately right. is going to caramelize. And it was delicious and it looked beautiful. I cut a cross section of it because I just brought them, you know, a pretty nice piece of it for a few meals. And it was yummy. Mario and I also had it. And with it, I made a porcini mushroom gravy, which was just, you know, basically beef stock. I made a roux. I put some thyme, some garlic. Porcini mushroom broth from rehydrating the porcinis. Thickened it a bit with the roux, cooked it down a bit, and put the chopped porcinis in it. I also held off some of the mushrooms from the filling, so I put some fresh mushrooms in it also. It was delicious. It was really good with a big giant batch of, I did 5 pounds of mashed potatoes. So a lot of mashed potatoes and green beans. It was lovely. And they so appreciated it. And it was good. And I think I'm going to do that again. I think it was much more interesting than a plain old loaf of meat, you know? It was great. I love it.
So did the, when you say you did like kind of like a roll, like a jelly roll of it, did the different, did you have any kind of binders in it so that it would hold its shape, or did it just kind of, when you sliced it, what was it like?
No, it was fine. It was together. As I said, when I made the filling, I put a couple of eggs in it and Parmesan.
Oh,
so that stuck together.
Okay. So how much, so of course the meat had egg, but did everything?
The meat had egg, and when I made the filling, I had a couple of eggs in that as well.
Okay, I didn't realize that.
Breadcrumbs, yes. Yep.
Okay.
And it held together beautifully. I actually took a picture of it, so I can post it when I do the post. It really
looks very
pretty, and, you know, for people that are trying to cut down on their meat, but they really want a meatloaf, this literally was, you know, 50% meat, 50% vegetables. So it was really good.
Right. Well, when we come back, I'd like to, as I told you before the show started, that I have this new vegan cookbook.
Yeah.
And I want to look up, because in my mind, I'm sort of envisioning what you would do for a vegan version, and perhaps the meat element might be sort of pulverized tempeh or, you know, and other veggies.
And
tofu is just so, it's so, even when I try to dry it out, it's so wet. I think tempeh.
I think it would work well. I think the interior would be slight. Well, we can talk about it when we come back. We're running out of time.
Yeah, we'll be right back. We'll talk. We're going to look up a vegan meatloaf recipe.
We'll be right back.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. Our experienced attorneys are standing by to evaluate whether you have a lung cancer claim that qualifies you for a cash award. The consultation is absolutely free, and there is no risk and no money out of pocket. We only receive a fee when we secure you and your family a settlement. 250,000 people are diagnosed with lung cancer every year. You're not alone in this battle. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and that medical expenses are covered. Again, if you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over age 60, call now. Don't delay. There are deadlines for filing claims. We're standing by 24/7. Call us at 1-855-398-1754. 1-855-398-1754. That's 1-855-398-1754. Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Granton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Generic Sildenafil allows you to save up to $650 on Viagra. Why pay name brand prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get the same results for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 50 generic Sildenafil pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $750 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill for the name brand again. Get generic Sildenafil for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-590-0443 today and save up to $650 and get 50 pills for just $99. Generic Sildenafil is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting to take your call now. Call 800-590-0443. That's 800-590-0443. Again, 800-590-0443.
Attention Medicare recipients and anyone turning 65. Medicare has approved new benefits not included with original Medicare and older Medicare Advantage plans. You may not be getting all of the benefits you're entitled to, including in-home aids, telephone appointments with your doctors, home-delivered meals and prescriptions. These benefits may be available and it's a free call to enroll. The new plans may also offer free eyeglasses, free hearing aids, free wellness visits, and gym memberships. Call the Medicare benefits line now. It's easy. Call 800-663-7292. 800-663-7292. Find out if you're eligible for new benefits like meal and prescription delivery, in-home aids, and telemedicine. Some plans may have a $0 monthly premium or zero copays for big out-of-pocket savings. Not all Medicare Advantage plans are alike. The new plans have more benefits for many people. Call 800-663-7292. 800-663-7292. 800-663-7292. 7292.
Welcome back to Food for Thought.
Hey, we're back. So your vegan book. So I think you could do it with tofu, because what I've done in the past is I've made little stuffed tofu croquettes. And what I did was I took, let me change that, because I think I did it for a vegetarian. So I did have egg in it. It was just someone that didn't eat meat, and everyone was having these little croquettes. So I took semi-soft tofu and I put it in the Cuisinart, and I whipped it up with an egg. And I think I probably seasoned it with, like, you know, just cheese and some herbs and things. And I laid it out, and it was really smushy. It was like I was making a compound butter almost. So I laid it out on a piece of Saran, and I made a mixture to put in the center of it. I'll be honest with you, I can't remember what it was. I think it had spinach and feta in it, because I think everybody else had chicken breasts with spinach and feta, so it had the same filling. And I formed it just, you know, like you would a compound butter, and I refrigerated it, and then I baked it, and it came out really good. Now, the exterior of the tofu was dry and nice and formed. It kept its shape. The interior of the tofu was a little bit more, a little bit softer. You know, it was like the semi-soft tofu in the center of it. But they were really good. I remember I had made a bunch of them, and there were a couple left over because we had a couple of vegetarians at this wedding, and a couple of them didn't show up. So we were eating the food that had been set aside, and they were really yummy. So I wonder, you know, what could you put in there instead, if you was for a vegan and not a vegetarian and you couldn't use the egg product? I guess you could use that egg substitute.
I guess.
Maybe cashews. You'd still need something to thicken it, you know, to hold it together.
Yeah. I'm still trying to establish. I'm establishing what the best base is in terms of, it seems like a lot of recipes use chickpeas as their base. Right. Some will use.
But that doesn't really add the gelatinous part that's going to hold it together, right? Or does it?
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
So this one is apparently really, really simple. And it looks like it's got that tomato ketchup kind of topping.
And what's the main ingredient? It's chickpeas.
Okay. And then a bunch of vegetables. Hang on one second.
Sure.
Sorry.
That's all right. I think I don't think you can call it meatloaf. It doesn't have meat in it. You call it a vegan loaf or a vegetable loaf?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just to sort of honor the tradition of what a meatloaf meal would be.
Right. I don't think I could ever be a vegan. I don't think I could ever be a vegetarian. I don't, granted, I eat a lot of fish. I eat a lot of vegetables. You know, I do eat non-meat items, but I don't know. Sometimes I don't think I would feel satisfied if I didn't have a protein, you know, a meat protein. I don't know.
Well, I think that the way, and of course I haven't really done the research or to really delve into the philosophical moral aspects of being vegan.
Mm-hmm.
There's just something that I feel that we were meant to eat meat.
Yeah.
What I am a big proponent of is better treatment of animals in the slaughter, in the way they're raised and the slaughter process. I think if that could be changed, and I think there's a lot of organizations who are trying to do just that, that's what I would shoot for. Another thing is sometimes, you know, I'm not really seeing any binder in this thing, which makes me crazy because how the hell does it stay together? It calls for nutritional yeast, which I know just gives it a flavor.
It also gives it a leavening.
Is there a leavening?
Nutritional yeast is also, you know, it's like a yeast. So it's giving, it's got air, it's forming air pockets in there. So it gives consistency. It gives texture.
Okay. I mean, is that what does it for the consistency of the vegan meatloaf?
Perhaps. I don't know enough about it. I would still think that you need, beans have, you know, fiber, their fiber content. I still feel like you would need something like an egg product to really.
Right. And none of these, I'm telling you, I'm looking at another recipe. None of them have anything binding. And this is where I really mistrust the recipe. Because, Laura, I mean, you know, you're a cook. Mm-hmm. Oil, onion, celery, carrot, baby bella mushrooms, chickpeas, breadcrumbs. You can't tell me that this thing isn't just like crumbling as you cut it. I don't know.
I would not think that it would be the proper consistency. I mean, maybe if it was a small, like a patty, like a zucchini burger or, you know, a smaller portion, but if it's something that's supposed to be like a loaf that you're supposed to cut through, sounds like right. It would be completely crumbling.
It sounds, although the pictures, they look these perfect little slices. Huh. Here's another one. And this one, I can kind of see it also. I like this one, actually. This calls for, lentils are the base. And it's also got oats. Right. It's got walnuts. It's got ground flax seeds. Now, I could kind of see, I think flax seeds is more, remember, I've been into flax seeds lately.
Yeah, but it's still not.
There is something binding about them when you grind them.
Well, yeah, because it's become sort of like a flour, you know, anything of that consistency.
Right.
It doesn't have the gluten that a flour would have.
Right. I'm just not familiar with the potential. I'm sure there is one out there. I'm not going to Google it during the show, but I'm sure there is one out there that's an egg substitute that you can add to recipes, just like a meatloaf recipe where you don't want to use egg.
Well, I mean, I know if you're baking, you would use something like applesauce. Like, I know that works in baking.
Okay.
And I think you can use different starches.
Right.
But do you really want to be putting like tapioca starch in your,
not really.
Quote, unquote, and, you know, that's, meatloaf?
That's what my argument is too with some of the vegan cooking is that, or vegan products, I should say, that's readily available, is that what's in them is not necessarily healthier for you. So you take out the meat.
Right.
But when you're adding various starches and stuff, I don't necessarily think that it's better. But I'll try it, I guess. This is where I'd rather experiment on a vegan client who's going to appreciate whatever I make. I'm not sure I want to make it for myself.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
So I have a very sort of rare at this point restaurant experience, you know, since I don't,
right.
We used to go out all the time. We used to do shows and I wanted to talk to you about this and on the air as well. And that is, why don't we, during the month of November, try to do some location tapings, because as long as we can be outside,
we can. I mean, I can certainly reach out. Certainly, you know, there's a ton of restaurants on that list that I was compiling of places that we wanted to do a remote from. The only thing is we really have to distance.
Right, which we do normally. We do, because we're there before lunch hour. So when we've taped shows, we're like the only ones in there.
Right. We have to now distance from the chef or the manager who, or the owner who we're
So we wear masks. From.
So we, well, not if we're eating. We're not meat eating. You know, we're eating.
Well, then we'll have to, during the portion where we're actually tasting the food, it'll be just be you and I. And I actually, I think you're pretty strict. I would feel pretty comfortable.
Well, I mean, and we can still be apart from each other. We don't have to be on top of each other.
Right. We could sit at a 6-foot table and sit on opposite ends, and
certainly
we can have the waiters, because I'm sure they wouldn't mind the exposure. Because recently I had a relative, my mom's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I don't feel comfortable inside anyone's house. My mom works at a restaurant. She doesn't have tons of exposure, but she's still working in a restaurant.
Right.
My son, who we met with, he's 23, and he goes on, and it was just the four of us. So it was Don, my boyfriend, my son Sam, and my mother.
Right.
And we went to Under the Moon in Lambertville.
Oh, which I love.
Yes, and we did a show there, but they are now in a different location. So they're where Cafe Galleria used to be.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't know that.
So they have that lovely outside porch. And so we were outside on the porch. The weather was great, so they didn't have to have heaters on. They didn't have to have sides down or anything like that. But then my son announces that, oh, yeah, on Friday, this was a Sunday. He said Friday he got together with friends at a bar. And I was like, wait, like inside? And he said, yes. And so I thought, okay, well, here I am sitting, you know, a foot and a half from you. But anyway, so I think I would, every time I have an experience like that, I just think, okay, give it 10 days. If you get through 10 days and you don't get it, just chalk it up to, whoops, I, you know.
Yeah, it's a little scary, isn't it?
But anyway, what I noticed from my search when I went to the Facebook page, and that was that I was looking for a place that had outdoor dining and also heaters, because I had no idea what the temperature was going to be that day. And if it was going to be 50 degrees, you know, maybe I'd want to. We lucked out. But so I said in my post, I want proper distancing. You know, I don't, even if we're outside, I'm not comfortable just being, you know, crammed together.
Right.
And also heaters. Mm-hmm. And so to find that combination is difficult, you know, because, and then they were saying that, oh yes, what we plan to do is we're going to put the sides down. So they're going to have sides coming down. Like if you're, are you and Mario going to put sides down on your?
Well, we're now talking about that. We do have propane heaters, and our outside tables are appropriately spaced. And fortunately, we have a rather large dining room, so we can have 5 or 6 tables inside.
Right.
You know, and we can have a couple of people at like 3, or if it's a couple, we can have 2 couples at the bar. If it's single people, we can have, you know, maybe 4 or 5 people at the bar, depending, you know, what the spacing is. We're thinking about it. You know, we have that nice long patio on our walkway where the majority of people dine. I mean, we do have tables out front on 206, but I've sat out there periodically. I don't think, you know, on a busy night or a busy afternoon for lunch, people have been sitting out there, but you know, the better spot is along the side of the building. So we're talking about it. You know, we're trying to figure it out, just like every other restaurant right now.
But do you really feel that? I feel like it's a little bit of a loophole that restaurants can say, okay, you can only have 25% capacity inside, but if you're outside, then you just, you know, there's no...
No, we still have to have spacing. We still have spacing outside.
Spacing, but when you start to put those, okay, so let's say you have a tent.
And time out. If you have a tent, you can't have a heater. You can have heater, but you can't have a propane heaters can't be inside of a tent.
Right, but you could have those ones that are placed on the floor, on the ground.
Yes, which are horrible and blowing, and you know, that's, we're not doing that.
So, but what I'm questioning is restaurants who are having outdoor seating under tents. And then with the cold weather, they're going to roll those sides, those plastic sides down on the tents.
Not
you might as well
plan.
Be inside.
Yeah. You might as well be inside. And because of the air circulation, everything's, you right. know, especially not, those blow heaters. If you're sitting on this side of the tent, you know, this side of the tent versus that side of the tent, it makes no difference. Cause once you have a blower going with heat, germs are everywhere. You know, they're not just going in this direction or that direction. Yeah. It's right. tricky. It's going to be super, super tricky.
Right.
So that's why we're on the fence about what we're doing, but we've been really lucky in that the weather's been really nice. I mean, we've been busy and our takeout has been great and catering has right. been picking up because, you know, a lot of people are having things in their home, in their backyard. They're doing their own social distancing. We're just dropping off food. So
are you bracing yourselves for December, January, February, March?
Our catering sales, the girls in the sales office are currently working with people for holiday parties. So, you know, okay. stuff is happening. It's certainly not going to be like days past, you know, it's a whole new
but people are game. Entertaining. I know we're running out of time. People are entertaining for the holidays with multiple people in the house.
They are, but they are families that have been quarantining together or, you know, they're taking their own precautions. At that point, it's not out on us to be doing, you know, if the onus
and
is not on us.
You're doing mostly delivering in that respect.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. When we come back, I'm going to talk about what we actually had at Under the Moon, because I know we've both been there a couple of times and it was very good, but I'm not going to say criticisms, but because we usually don't do that when we mention the name of the restaurant,
right.
but there's one okay. little tiny thing that they do that.
All right. When we come back.
Attention Medicare recipients and anyone turning 65. Medicare has approved new benefits not included with original Medicare and older Medicare Advantage plans. You may not be getting all of the benefits you're entitled to, including in-home aids, telephone appointments with your doctors, home-delivered meals and prescriptions. These benefits may be available and it's a free call to enroll. The new plans may also offer free eyeglasses, free hearing aids, free wellness visits, and gym memberships. Call the Medicare benefits line now. It's easy. Call 800-663-7292. 800-663-7292. Find out if you're eligible for new benefits like meal and prescription delivery, in-home aids, and telemedicine. Some plans may have a $0 monthly premium or zero copays for big out-of-pocket savings. Not all Medicare Advantage plans are alike. The new plans have more benefits for many people. Call 800-663-7292. 800-663-7292. 800-663-7292.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and medical expenses are covered. If you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over 60, call 24/7 1-855-398-1754. 1-855-398-1754. Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Granton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
I can't get my computer to work.
Let me help you with that.
How'd you do that? I just got techie with Geeks On Site.
Our geeks literally come on site. No need to stop what you're doing or block off time. We come to your home, office, or wherever you are. And we don't just fix whatever computer issues you might be having. We explain and teach you along the way.
We'll help you instantly. Call 844-606-8411. That's 844-606-8411.
Welcome back to Food for Thought.
We're back.
So one of the rarer times these days that I went to a restaurant and we were seated outside and we were very lucky that it was nice weather.
Right.
It was at Under the Moon. There's only one. I loved this place. But.
Did you have that delicious dish? Oh my gosh. So good.
Which one?
The chorizo.
No.
Oh,
now I had We had the, we got a flight up the office.
Okay.
And what I realized, you know, one time I went to the restaurant, and this is when they first opened, so I'm sure things have changed. It's been a couple of years now.
Right.
But there was, in their tapas flights, they list all of these things that you can get. And
right.
So, like, flight number one is, you know, $25, and it includes XYZ. And the better tiered flight is, you know, $40, and it includes four little apps, tapas, sized apps.
Hey, that's where we had the delicious squid, too, right? That was braised.
Yes, the octopus.
Oh, my gosh, that was good. Yep.
So when you order a flight, it comes in this, and it's very strange, because even though you have a four items for your flight, it actually has, did somebody ask me to force quit Zoom? Sorry, I just got a notification. It has three tiers, so it comes out like in a tiered display.
Right.
And it's got three tiers, and then they serve the fourth just on the table, which, right. I don't know, doesn't seem right. And that top one is above eye level, so you can't.
I remember when we were there, I think we said this when we were there, that this is awkward. This is not working.
It's awkward.
Yeah.
It's just, and then when I was first there, actually, before we actually did the show there, I went there with a friend, and I noticed there was octopus, grilled octopus, on their flights, but it wasn't listed in one of their appetizers.
I remember you had an issue.
I asked them, can I get an appetizer version of the octopus that's in the flight? And they said, no.
Yeah,
and I was like, look, I don't care how much it costs. I just want, because in the flight, these are tapas portions. So the little dishes, but they've got about an inch high of a lip on the little plates.
Yeah, they're small portions.
It's only about 5 inches, 6 at the most.
Right.
So it's really not a lot of food, which I get. Like, I understand how much food costs are, and it's $40. That's $10 each app. And, you know, you're not going to get tons. But I don't know. Sometimes I want to
Well, and that always bothers me, because if the customer is willing to pay for something, you're there to serve the customer. If they want to eat bread all night, let them eat bread all night. If they want to.
Right. But it was very good. It was very good. I have to say, it was, we had and I let my son choose, just because he's a little fussier than the rest of us. And I didn't want to load up on octopus and stuff that I knew he wasn't going to eat. But so we got the short ribs.
Nice.
And we got the octopus, of course. And some sort of shrimp thing, you know, three shrimp, three 16-20s.
Right.
You know, so it's like, I don't know.
It's just a shame because, well, I just think it's a shame. And I get the premise. It's supposed to be a little bite. You're supposed to be eating it. It's not like you're going out to a meal and you're getting an entree. You're picking at things. And their hope is that you order another flight or another one of these.
Right.
But yeah, I get it, because you and I like to eat.
Well, you've been to Portuguese restaurants, for example, in Newark.
Right.
And there's, you know, the portions, you know, if you order a $10, $12, $14 appetizer, you get a nice portion of shrimp. And I know how much they cost, so I know exactly what the markup is.
Right.
So it just sort of was like a little bit, but you know, they're doing really well. And I think the fact that they also have this really wonderful location now with all of their outside tables, which I always thought the location before, the previous owners, I wasn't crazy about the food, but I thought the aesthetic
there. Oh, I loved it.
There,
Siam? I loved it.
No, not Siam. It's where Cafe Galleria used to be. So that.
Oh. I thought you were talking about where they, you know, the other place where it was Siam previously.
Right. No. I'm talking about where.
So they've moved completely?
Moved completely. Like,
oh, I didn't know that.
It changed on GPS. So it was telling us.
Wow.
You know, I thought, well, maybe they should have. But apparently they've been there for like 2 years. So I guess they assume that everybody knows. But I just had a salad for an entree, because it sounded so good. It was endive and arugula with pears, toasted walnuts and a really good blue cheese.
That sounds delicious.
And something else. Anyway, it was just a nice, you know, hearty salad. And the four of us with the flight and our little meals, Sam, my son got a and Don also, I think they both got burgers. But it came to like $120 or something. I mean, it was cheap for four people.
That is cheap.
So it was a nice thing, but I'm really looking at November as, you know, that's my last chance to go to a restaurant because I'm not doing it. Just real quick on the COVID note, because I know it's a food show, but just to be, mindful, if anybody out there is listening who thinks that it's, you know, only old people die and it's not that bad. A friend that I, you know, not a close friend, but a former coworker, she friended me on Facebook, and I happened to go to her page just to kind of see what she's been doing. And she's having long-term effects from a bout with COVID.
Yeah.
And she had no pre-existing conditions, none, no medications, nothing. 32 years old. When she finally got it, well, she got it in like, I think it was April or May. Mm-hmm. She got it because where she was working, and I don't know where she was working, but where she was working, no one was doing masks. They just weren't. Right. So everyone who worked there got it. And she was one of the last people to get it.
Right.
Very mild symptoms. Was like, oh, I guess I got a mild case. That's great. Then a month later, stuff starts happening.
Yeah, there's some long-term stuff. So I've actually lost 14 people that I know of thus far.
Jeez, wow.
And a couple of people from high school, their children have had it. Again, no symptoms, healthy kids in their late 20s, early 30s. Same thing. A lot of symptoms that have shown up after they recovered. One had pretty mild symptoms. One was more drastic. She was in the hospital. But, you know, yeah, for all you listening who think this is just for older people, that's absolutely positively not the case.
She said she's having things like extreme fatigue where she can't even, she'll make dinner and then she has to go lie down.
Yeah.
Yep. She'll try to go for a walk and she gets home and she's exhausted. She's trying to find a job, but she's afraid if she gets one, she's not going to be able to show up every day.
Yeah. Muscle aches. Or another thing that I've heard about this young lady, just, you know, she's 29 years old. Like extreme muscle aches to the point where she's taking muscle relaxers and, you know, trying to keep up with her normal schedule, and she just can't do it. It's a big deal. It's a very big deal.
She's also, my friend's having phantom smells. So instead of losing her sense of smell or taste, she will randomly be experiencing smellings of particular smell all day long.
That's crazy. Wow.
Today, it smells like cake.
Wow. Well, you hope it's good smells and not she's smelling cow manure all day.
right. Oh, gosh. I saw just a quick note on, because we've been doing some of our crock pot favorite things, and I just went to a website, you know, crock pot recipes, and I haven't had this. I actually can't remember the last time I had this, but Kung Pao chicken.
Yeah.
That's the one with the just peanuts and, you know.
It's delicious.
So I thought, what a great crock pot. And just to let you know, my message keeps coming up from Zoom that wants me to force quit the program. So I'm just trying to keep talking.
I don't know what that means. It says force quit.
It's asking me to force quit the program. So I'm just saying, if you lose me, we're just going to have a shorter show for this week. But anyway,
I wonder, maybe you have to update it. Have you done an update lately?
Start my computer, or it could be a lot of things. But anyway, it keeps coming up.
You're here for now. Kung Pao chicken. So did you make it in the crock pot?
You know what? I'm just gonna force quit Chrome, because maybe that'll stop. I can force quit. Listen, don't worry.
We have 6 minutes.
I know. I'm trying to just keep this connected here.
Okay. So did you make the Kung Pao chicken?
Well, what I thought would be nice about this particular recipe was that it was, and you have more experience with crock pot cooking than I do. Mm-hmm. And it was one of these Asian recipes. And I thought that the introduction of the cornstarch with the soy sauce and the ginger and the other things that were going on. Now, when you do the cornstarch in a slow cooker, it is going to it's going to give it thickness, right?
Yes. But generally, if you're doing a thickener, generally you do it towards the end of the cooking process. You don't do it in the beginning. Is this recipe, have you doing it in the beginning?
This recipe actually is not a crock pot recipe, but I'm trying to take it. And so you're saying that if you do it in the crock pot, maybe leave the cornstarch out for the beginning of the cooking process and then add it later.
Absolutely. You don't put the slurry in until you're, a half an hour from serving it. Yeah.
Right. So maybe in crock pot time, it would be
crock pot land.
It would be an hour from serving it. Then you'd put in your slurry of cornstarch.
And
actually, I was thinking the peanuts should go in at the end too.
I would totally put the peanuts in the end, but it also depends on your crock pot. Like my crock pot, when it's going on high, it's boiling. So I could just very easily add a slurry at the end of the cooking time to thicken it up. Right. It wouldn't be an hour later. I would only use especially cornstarch. Like if you're doing something with the roux where you know it's going to get incorporated into that liquid, I would do it cornstarch later in the cooking process. So what else is in the recipe? Tell us how you did it.
It's just from memory. I mean, I think it's like chili peppers and ginger, miso, soy sauce, cornstarch, and then just the chicken,
right.
Which I would just use the cubed boneless and skinless thighs.
Right.
And put that all in the crock pot, except leave out the cornstarch, like you said.
Right.
And maybe toast the peanuts in a pan.
Yep.
Or in the oven. And then put them in at the end. And then just a bunch of chopped fresh green scallion on top when you're ready to serve over rice.
Sounds delicious. I thought I misunderstood. I thought you said you had made it. Yeah, no, that sounds great. Maybe I'll do that next week. That sounds good. So I had something really good. We had dinner at my brother and sister-in-law's house at the beginning of the week, and we sat outside on the deck. It was lovely. Again, lucking out with the beautiful weather. And my sister-in-law made the most delicious roasted. It was a very plain meal, and it was so good. It was roasted chicken that she roasted together with potatoes and sausage. So the small pieces of sausage and chicken thighs and the potatoes, and it just absorbed the fat from the chicken, the fat from the sausage. The potatoes were really crispy and delicious, and that was really it. It was super simple, but really, really good. So nice, like a simple roast.
So roast chicken with sausage?
Roast chicken with pieces of sausage and potatoes in a big roasting pan. Yeah, it was delicious. Really, really good.
Right,
Simple can be really good. Simple should be really good.
I know. Really good.
I know.
Do you have anything on your wish list or things that you want to make for dinner coming up? I'm really into coconut lately. I'm really wanting to do more with coconut oil, especially with my failed attempts at vegan butter. So now I have giant Ziploc bags filled with crushed up chunks of my failed vegan.
Have you tried any of the things we talked about to resuscitate them in different ways? We talked about that one show. Not yet.
All I know is that the one version I made had called for coconut oil, refined coconut oil, so it didn't have the coconut flavor, just the oil. And it was, melted. Mm-hmm. And then it was incorporated with nutritional yeast and salt and almond milk that was mixed with apple cider vinegar, which kind of curdles it, makes it like the quote-unquote buttermilk.
Right.
And then at the end, you were supposed to incorporate either like a light olive oil, some kind of light oil, maybe peanut oil, whatever. But based on a cup of coconut oil, maybe it was 2 tablespoons of the other.
Right.
So the first version, I think I forgot to incorporate that second oil, and I thought that's why it was hard as rock. So the second version, I made sure to incorporate the second oil, and it was equally as hard as rock and awful.
Ugh.
So I've got to figure out why this, how this company, Myokos, did you?
Yeah, I remember. Mykonos, it's like something like Mykonos, but not Mykonos. Yeah.
I've got to look it up, but it's the best vegan butter you will ever have.
Right.
And I've got to figure out how they do it.
All right. That's a thing for your list. But to answer your question, I do stuff with, I am doing stuff with coconut milk because I make something Indian every week. So usually like my butter chicken, and I love it.
Right.
All right, my friend, we are running out of time.
Okay.
We will speak to you all next week.